In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
I am one of the missionaries. We arrived back in Phoenixville just at the stroke of midnight last night. So I know for many of us, we got to sleep at 2 or 3 o'clock, and also that includes the kind people that picked us up and drove us home. So to my fellow missionaries, this one might be a great time for you to catch up on your sleep. But I'm going to try to tell you why I went to El Salvador and what I saw and what I learned. But please know that I don't believe that the learning part is over at all, but I can tell you what I've discovered so far. But first, I want to share the framework of my thinking, and there are two issues that I begin with. First, and most importantly, is that a wise man has told me that the primary function of the church is mission. Second is worship. I accept that, and I do for two reasons. One is that it cannot possibly be true that going to church for 75 minutes a week satisfies our need to serve and to be served by God. The second reason is that if Jesus had not told the apostles to go out into the world and promised to go there with them, that the church would never have made it as far as Spain, let alone Phoenixville. Without mission, the church would have lived and died its entire life in Jerusalem. The second point of context is that I need to frame or contain my thoughts within today's gospel reading. To refresh you, Jesus and his friends are coming into town, and two sisters, Mary and Martha, invite them to their house. This reading is often referred to as Martha, Martha in the kitchen. It's fair to assume that both of the sisters are excited to have this famous teacher as their guest. Mary places herself at Jesus' feet, wanting to learn, and demonstrates this by her position as a servant. She sits at Jesus' feet. Martha is in the kitchen making sandwiches or potato salad or whatever you give to company when they're in Palestine. Martha is serving Jesus in her way. Mary in her own way. Jesus seems to say that Mary has chosen the better, to serve and to learn. Martha wants to do and then complain when others don't help. And that's where I begin to tell you why I went to El Salvador. I'm like Martha. I thought I would go to help poor people, to build stuff, or paint stuff, or plant stuff, or whatever I could do to help, because mission is important. The truth is, I didn't really want to go to El Salvador. I wanted to go to Ireland. This summer in July was one of those big anniversaries for Joni and I, one of the ones that ends with a zero, and we were planning a trip back to Ireland, but one Sunday in January I came home and I said, so for anniversary, do you want to go back to Ireland or do you want to go to El Salvador and do mission work? Joni barely thought about her answer before saying, oh, let's go to El Salvador. And I was just kidding. I love Ireland. But I was in too deep, and I'm not too good at adventure, and Joni is. Last year I didn't want to go to Yosemite and climb Half Dome Mountain, but afterwards I was quite happy that I had followed her there. So I put a toe in the water. We talked to some people, went to some informational meetings, and became more confused. After all, I know what being a missionary is. You go to Africa or some other jungle and you teach people about Jesus and how to make a proper cup of tea. That's how it is in all the old movies. Or you become Jimmy Carter and you build houses for people and clean overalls and a big smile. But I was being told that this was a different kind of mission work. It was human rights mission work. But I'm Martha, Martha in the kitchen. I want to do the work and complain when others don't help. I didn't understand what I was going to do. But I've been led this far and decided to go on and to see what we could discover. So here's what we did, what I saw, and the discovery comes later. First, a very brief overview. Compared to us, this is a poorer country. And although it's an ancient country, it is a very young nation. No one there counts El Salvador as any more than 40 years old. Its indigenous people were wiped out long ago so that 14 families could rule an entire country in a feudal manner. The people were kept as serfs, peasants, until in 1980, civil war began. And when that civil war began, most of the population, about 80% of them, had never had a home. In 1992, after 12 years and the war was over, there were peace accords that ended the fighting between the serfs that wanted a home in their own country and the government that was controlled by these few families. 75,000 Salvadorans were killed by other Salvadorans so that people could have a chance to have some land and their own home. I'm not a historian. I'm not an expert on El Salvador after being there for 1 week. I'm a storyteller, and I'm Irish. And there's an Irish expression that says the facts are incidental to a good story. So I may get a few facts wrong, but I'll give you the story straight. Some things are facts, like in a small country, 75,000 people were killed in the Civil War. It's a fact that the average working man makes about $6.50 a day, and it's a fact that a jar of peanut butter costs $8. I saw some things in El Salvador that I have never seen before, like a cow tied to a guardrail along the highway, or a family of five on a motorcycle, or a sign on Wendy's that says, "We deliver." On to the story. We arrived there on Saturday and we're settled in and we're taken to a place called Puerto Diablo. Like my son? There were locals selling homemade wares and you could take a fairly strenuous hike up a steep hill through a nice mist. When you got to the top of Puerto Diablo, you were quite near slopes where it seemed as if you threw something off the cliff, you might never hear it hit bottom. Later I learned that this spot served as a body dump during the war and that Puerto Diablo means Devil's Gate. For dinner, we went to a place to try a dish that is found only in El Salvador called pupusas. They're sort of a thick and heavy pancake into which you put beans or cheese or pork or all three. Each pupusa weighs about 35 pounds, and I can see why they're not served anywhere else in the world. On Sunday, we went to church in a place called El Putal. The rector there, a beautiful woman, was the only female priest in El Salvador. The church is very much like coming to church here, with a few differences. There's not much parking. There's not much needed. I only saw two cars. Also, the last mile or two of the road to the church wasn't paved, and I'm sure never will be. El Pital was started by, and later abandoned by, the Episcopal Church. And beside building that church, there are about 25 very small homes, each holding three or four families. There is electricity, and water makes it to a central area near the houses in the community. Similarly to St. Peter's, sometimes a bathroom is not working properly. In fact, it looked as though the only bathroom in the church had had the water turned off a very long time ago. As I walked into the church, I couldn't help but notice the beautiful tile floor, like we have, but beautiful colored tiles. there was a stunning view of the hills right outside the church. So they didn't bother with stained glass windows. In fact, there were no windows at all. There were wooden shutters, though. Where we have our magnificent organ, they've chosen a tambourine. And the choir is made up mostly of women, while the men stare and mumble the words. Just like home. We use the Book of Common Prayer, and although it's in Spanish, I can maintain a sense where we are because the opposite page was in English also. As I sat down, I got a sense from a man who walked by that I was in his regular spot. But instead of the uncomfortable wooden pews that we have, they've chosen plastic patio chairs. There were three baptisms that day. The mothers and the godmothers wore what looked like to me prom dresses for this big event. And as we gathered in the back of the church around the font, three teenagers hung back, stood along the wall, and whispered and giggled, just like home. When I got up to take communion, I had to encourage the dog that was lying in the aisle to grant me passage. At the peace, I was greeted with genuine welcome and huge smiles from everyone. And before long, I was answering them in the way that they greeted me. La paz, they were saying, the peace. La paz, I began saying. I will never forget La paz. After church, we were treated to a very nice lunch, and the amount that they put out for us seemed inappropriate to their means. We talked and shared and asked questions of each other, and they told us that their best chance for an income came from working in what they called sweatshops for American clothes manufacturers. They talked about their hope to extend the school to go beyond the ninth grade. And that way their kids might have another choice in life beyond the sweatshops.